Jesus saves, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Savior, you can come to Him today. Jesus saves people from their sin. You will find forgiveness when you put your trust in Him.
It stopped. The music's gone. I love that music. I love it. It gets in my head like an earworm, except trees don't have ears, so it must be a woodworm. Everyone's on fire today. Hi, everyone. How are you? Adults too. How are you today? Yeah? You doing well? Yeah. I'm doing really well, because look at me. I'm beautiful. There are so many beautiful decorations, and there are so many beautiful stories that go with each ornament that's hanging on me. And I feel like I'm running out of space. So even though I never want the story to end, I'm kind of hoping that it ends soon, because I don't have a back, so you can't pin ornaments there. That wouldn't work at all. But today, what have you learned during the week? Who's been on during the week and they have an ornament they can tell me about for today? Okay, Joey and Lizzie, can you show me that ornament? Hold it up really high. No, not that close, I'm old. Ah, what's on that? That's really interesting. Tools. Do you want a microphone? Yeah. Right. Say it again. Say it into the microphone.
Tools.
Tools. Right. That's a saw. Get that saw away from me. So, from a distance, what have tools got to do with God's plan of salvation? What is that about?
It's about Joseph and Mary.
Right. And how is that about Joseph?
Because he was a builder.
He was a builder. Right. Do we have any builders? Who's a builder? We got a builder. We have any more builders? Only one builder? Well, I don't want you anywhere near me because I'm wood. No builders. Okay. All right. And what happened to Joseph? Like, what special thing happened to Joseph?
Well, he had a dream.
Yeah.
Well, because Jesus told Mary that she was going to have a baby.
Yeah.
But Joseph wasn't sure that he could, raise Jesus.
Right.
So he was going to leave Mary. But then an angel came to him in a dream and told him to stay and help Mary look after Jesus.
Wow. Wow. An angel. Someone else had an angel. Who was it? Who had an angel?
Mary
had an angel. Someone else had an angel. I remember distinctly someone else had an angel.
Zechariah
had an angel. I wish I could have an angel. I think it would be really, really, actually it would be really scary. So maybe I don't want an angel. All right, I'll hold that for you. Oh, you can, very good. Probably turn it off, yes. Yes, because we all know about technical difficulties with microphones, don't we? Do you want to pin Joseph to me? Now, can you see that I've got a new ornament from last week and it's a heart? What was that about? Do you remember what that was? Does anyone remember what that was? The heart? Elijah? The heart was Mary. The heart was Mary. And in it is music, because Mary sang a wonderful song of praise. And I remember that we read that last week, and that was really good. But it's really exciting. However, I feel like I'm fast running out of space. So today when we go up, we're going to make another ornament for me. and for you to take home, and that will be really good as well. Yes, it might have to dangle in front of my face, but that will be really good. So we have so many stories to remember about God's plan of salvation, and I'm pretty sure we're getting right to the crux of the matter today. You think? All right, let's go upstairs and see what story is next. Oh, we got to do the dance. Lizzie has the same decoration. They get two. All right, we got to do the dance though. Anyone else coming to do the dance? Yes, we got some dancers. All right, adults, feel free to stand and dance. Up the front, down the back, in your seats, in your imagination. All right, let's go. Ready?
Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Savior, you can come to Him today. Jesus saves people from their sin. You will find forgiveness when you put your trust in Him.
Ready? Wow, he wants to dance again, but it's really fast now and I'm running out of puff. So let's go. Oh, I see a hand. You want to dance again? How about Jono plays the music while you go upstairs and you can dance your way out? Yeah? All right, let's go.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Savior. You can come to Him today. Jesus saves people from their sin. You will find forgiveness when you put your trust in Him.
Yeah. Our Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, and verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Amen.
As a young boy growing up, I heard lots of different stories. Into my teenage years and on into my young adult years, there were stories that came out across the world. One was about a story about a lady called Jackie Pullinger. Anyone heard of Jackie Pullinger? Yeah, the walled city. Here's something that she wrote, and it says this: "I have spent over half my life in a dark, foul-smelling place, because I had a vision of another city ablaze with light. It was my dream, and there was no more crying, no death or pain. The sick were healed, addicts were set free, the hungry filled. There were families for orphans, homes for the homeless, a new dignity for those who lived in shame. I had no idea how to bring this about, but with visionary zeal, imagined, and I introduced the walled city people to the one who could change it all. His name is Jesus. That's amazing, isn't it? If you know more about Jackie Pullinger's story, it is certainly an incredible story. And if you read bits about it, you'll see the miraculous. But it all comes about because at first and foremost, there was a vision, there was a dream, there was a promise that something could be better. This walled city should be better. Another one was a guy called Alex Buchan, or Buchan. And he's a well-known pastor to the pastors. Apparently he was a potato farmer, for those that have known a bit more about him. And things I didn't realize was he was profoundly deaf in one ear, and he only had 5% hearing in the other. Anyone know that about him? Mate, he just soldiered on, didn't he? Didn't let anything get him down. And one side of his face was paralyzed after he'd suffered nerve damage during major surgery. Hearing him speak about God's love, he would often repeat these words: God loves you unconditionally, wholeheartedly, and continually. That's a good testimony, isn't it? For a guy that was deaf in one ear, 5% hearing in the other, paralyzed face, potato farmer, I imagine that's hard work. And he would continue to say in his sermons, God loves you unconditionally, wholeheartedly, and continually. Today, this amazing story of Jesus' birth, Jesus born in Jerusalem. And the first people to come to see him are a bunch of shepherds, blokes out in the field. It's all part of God's plan. Right from the very beginning, God had this plan. It's a salvation plan. And Jesus, the birth of Jesus, is the fulfillment of the promise that started in the very book of Genesis. And the promise that was highlighted again and again and again and again all the way through the Old Testament. We heard the Jesse tree talk about all those amazing stories. And they are incredible and amazing stories. But they point to this one area of the promise of God in and through our lives. Let me just read to you. Today the kids are going to be learning this memory verse from the book of John, which, along with all the stories that we're learning from the Old Testament, they read through this passage. Today it's John chapter 1 verse 14. It says this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one who sent him, full of grace and truth. This is the promise. This is the time. This is it. This is the celebration of God's promise and fulfillment in and over our lives, the baby Jesus. The other thing with the story that we've been telling over these last term, and the kids have been learning upstairs, is that we've seen again and again that even though the people of Israel forgot who God was, how many stories did that happen? How many times did they reject him for the God he is, rebelled against him, blasphemed his name, and despised him? Even though this is what the people of Israel did to God, God always remembered them. He never forgot them. He never rejected them. He always protected them. He guided them. When they were unfaithful, he stayed faithful. When they were unloving, he stayed loving. When they went off track, he forgave again and again and again. It's like a broken record at times in the Old Testament, isn't it? The people of Israel went and did this and God forgave them. They went and did this and God forgave them. And he raised up a new judge or a new king. Or it just happened again and again and again. God continued to take them back again and again. We read the Old Testament and sometimes we shake our heads, don't we? We look at the people of Israel and we go, oh my goodness, how daft are they? Why couldn't they get their act together? If you stop for long enough, though, you might get to understand that the Old Testament is not just the people of Israel's story. It's your story and it's my story. How many times do we forget who God is? How many times do we reject God's authority or God's plan or God's will over our life? How many times do we decide to do things our ways, which, let's put it bluntly, doing things our ways is a thing called rebellion? How many times have we blasphemed our holy God, despised his plan for our lives? But every time we did this, every time I did this, every time I walked away from God, guess what? God never forgot who Donnie Johnson was. God always was there watching over my life, protecting and guiding me. When I was unfaithful, he stayed faithful. When I was unloving, he stayed loving. When I did things that were wrong, he stayed forgiving. And he took me back again and again and again. At this time of the year, as we reflect on Emmanuel, the God who is with us, I just want to take you to a bunch of shepherds on the hill. Busy. How many people have watched shepherds with sheep? Do sheep always do what they're told? Do they just line up in line and just two by two do what they're told? They go all over the place. So many little passages from the Old Testament talk like sheep just go their own way. Get into trouble. Get stuck in thickets. Get stuck in barbed wire fences. And sometimes sheep will just not do it deliberately. Sometimes they'll just put their head down and they'll eat. And they'll keep eating and eating and eating. And before they know it, they're away from the rest of the flock. Because they've just worried about their belly. And they've just gone off track. For whatever reason, sheep go off track. We go off track. Sometimes we get so busy, we keep our head down and we don't keep our eyes on the sun. And we find ourselves off in a place that we shouldn't be. In a meadow that we shouldn't be in. The shepherds are there to do their job, to look after the sheep. And they're at night time, where everything's supposed to be nice and peaceful and quiet. And all of a sudden, angels appear. Angels appear. One gives them a word of God, one sings a song of exaltation, glorifying God, and talking about peace on earth for those who follow Jesus. How many times do we do that one? Peace on earth. And then we whinge and complain when we don't see any peace on earth. But the last bit's just as important as the first bit. When we pray for peace on earth, then we need to follow in God's way. Do as he called us to do. If we don't do things his way, then guess what? You don't get peace on earth. The shepherds have their attention gotten hold of, don't they? Angels. The Jesse tree today said she would like to see an angel. I wonder, some of us, as we walk with God, whether sometimes we need an angel to appear in our bedroom or to appear at nighttime when we're sitting out on the veranda going, God, help me walk this walk. What do I need to do? And when an angel appeared and went, boof. Hi, Donnie, how you doing? Yeah, I wasn't serious about that prayer. Because now, how do I get away from this? And angels appeared to me. The angel appeared to the shepherds and said, this is what's happening. And straight away, the shepherds go, well, let's go check it out. Let's go have a look. They go and they find. And it must be so significant, this environment, that this nativity scene that they see, the baby Jesus, that they tell everybody about it. They tell everybody they know, they see. The glory of God. There's another story in our Christmas story, which we're going to come up on a little bit later, but I want to just point to it, because it has that same thing of getting their attention. The wise men, they followed a star. They knew from the readings. They knew that there was going to be something that was happening. They knew the promise of God was about to be fulfilled. And they wanted to be a part of it. They didn't want to miss out on what God was going to do. They didn't want to miss out on all these hundreds and hundreds of years of prophetic words. They wanted to be there. And so they followed the star. And they came after the star. We heard all the little sayings that, you know, wise men still follow the star. Wise men will look out and find out where God is doing and be a part of it. Wise women will also do the same. But in and through this journey, for the shepherds and for the wise men, there probably was some of those grey periods we talked about last week. And I've still got some grey stones left here. If anyone's thought about it and thought, yeah, the grey stone idea is not a bad one. Something tangible for me to hold on to, knowing that whatever I'm going through, God is with me. God is walking with me. It may not be bright white light, but it's certainly not dark, and I'm holding on to what God's got for me. I'm holding on to the promises that God has. Some people have found it helpful. Others have chatted to me about writing their name on it to say, hey, look, this is something special between me and God. Today I'm also got something different. I've got little stars available. Just a simple little star. You can come up and grab one of them and just put it in your Bible. The idea of the star is that the star led the wise men to Jesus. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I get so busy I forget about what God's called me to do. I take my eyes off Jesus, take my eyes off following where that leads, and I get off track. And I miss out on the promises that God has for me. So today, as we talk about this fulfillment, the baby Jesus, the promise of God over our lives, I want to offer you a little star you can just place in your Bible. And all next year, all 2020, you might be able to see. Do you see what I see there? 2020? You might. Don't worry about it. I worked on that one, Brendan. Then you might be able to see the Lord Jesus working in and through. You might be able to see the promises fulfilled in and through your own life, the things that God has for you. You might be able to grab hold of that star and go, yep, I am going to follow Jesus no matter what comes across my way this year. I am going to grab my Bible and read it. And when every time I see that star, I'm going, yep, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, no matter where you lead me. You see, those wise men went across all foreign lands, didn't they, to do what God had called them to do. They were prepared to move and to follow. The shepherds, when they saw the angels, were prepared to leave their sheep and go and find out what was going on in the manger to see what it was that God was doing. I don't know about you, but I think 2020 is going to be an exciting year. And there's going to be some prompting from the Holy Spirit for us to fulfill and be a part of the promises of God in and through our lives, in and through our church, in and through our community, in and through our neighborhoods, in and through our neighborhoods, in and through our neighborhoods. See the promise of God being fulfilled as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus. So if these things help you, then please feel free to come and grab them. They're just a little star. If you really want, you could write your name on the back and say, I'm going to hold on to the promises of God in and through my life, and I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what comes my way, wherever he leads me. For you, it might be staying here on the sunny coast and enjoying what God has you to do, but some of you may go overseas with missions work. Just this week, talked to two people who have got opportunities to go away early next year or end of this year. That's exciting. Someone who's just come back from overseas and seeing what God's doing, it's still impacting my life. So if God's got you on a journey, then jump on board. The adventure is good in God. But how many of us know we don't have to go to Malawi to be a part of God's adventure? It can be right here in Karamundi. It can be right here in Aruna. It can be right here in Bedina and Watala. Right here out in Palmwoods. Wherever God has us, the promises of God are for now. Today, we celebrate the promise fulfillment of all that God has through the Jesse tree. Christ is born. The shepherds saw, and they couldn't hold it in. They had to tell all their friends about the baby Jesus. I pray that we will take hold of the promises of God and tell all the people we know, all the people we know, in and through our community, the good news of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you that Jackie Pullinger, even though in her own words, was in a stinky, rotting, smelly place, never gave up on the vision you gave her. I want to thank you, God, that our potato farmer, deaf in one ear and 5% hearing the other, and stroke that disabled his face, just continually talked about the love of God, which was unconditional and always upon us and wholeheartedly and continual for you and for me. Father, I want to thank you that even though we may have walked away, we may have rebelled, we may have blasphemed your name, you have always stayed loving. You have always stayed forgiving. You have always stayed guiding us, protecting us. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love and your joy over each of our lives. Father, may we continue to walk with you, knowing your joy. And may we celebrate this joy to the whole world, starting first here on the sunny coast, and then further afield, and further afield. In Jesus' name, amen.